Hello and welcome to another edition of the In Context podcast. This week we have Rachel speaking with C. Coolman from Grace Church in Orkney. I hope you enjoyed this episode.
A bit of testimony. I wasn't born into a Christian family at all. I was christened as a baby, but it was more of a token thing. We didn't go to church or anything like that. It was just something that they did. We lived in a, well, I was in West London. We lived in a council house. Me, my mum, my dad, my brother, who's 3 years older than me. Just a normal, everyday family. Dad went to work, mum stayed at home. From the age of about sort of 4 or 5 years old until almost 10, I kept it quiet. I didn't say anything to anyone, but I was actually being abused by my next door neighbour. And then at 10 years old, we moved away. We got a council swap. We moved to an estate in Feltham, in again, sort of West London. And I suppose from then on, I just felt like I didn't fit in anywhere. I hated school. I felt like the odd one out. I mean, it's difficult moving at that age anyway. But I just really hated it, and I felt like an outsider. As I got into my teenage years, I again kept it all very secret, but I started self-harming. And at about 13, 14, I'm not sure exactly when, I started drinking. And that just became like a regular cycle for me of every weekend going out drinking. Self-harm would keep coming up, keep coming and going. At 16 years old, I met a guy. He was a few years older than me. I was into rock music at the time, and he had long hair and he was in a rock band. I was like, this is great. This is perfect. And a couple of years later, we ran away to North Devon. Didn't want to live in London anymore. I think it was actually my idea. And looking back now, I think I was just running away. Just trying to escape, trying to find where I would fit in and fill that void, really. So, yeah, we moved to North Devon. We couldn't really settle there. We stayed in North Devon, but we moved around. Then we went back up to London. Then we went back to Devon. We even did a short stint in Bedfordshire, back to North Devon. Just never really settling. Just nothing was ever right. We got married. He had a good job. You know, he earned really well. We bought our first home. Then we bought another one. We bought a few properties around North Devon. On the surface, we had an amazing life. I had my daughter. But there was something not right. You know, our marriage, we began to grow apart. We just weren't getting on at all. We ended up back in London and we got divorced. We split up. I think my daughter was about 7 at that time. So I found myself as a single mum living in a very expensive flat, renting a very expensive flat in London. Couldn't really afford it. I walked away. We had all this property, but I walked away from our marriage with nothing. I just, I don't know, just head was mental and I just wanted out. So, yeah, single mum. And I just hated it. I hated being on my own. I hated it. And so spiraled into going to the pub, drinking, just which ended up, you know, I was drinking every single night.
I was just going to say, you still kept things quite concealed from your childhood at this point.
I was frightened to tell anybody anything. You know, there's a fear that you're not going to be believed, but there's also a fear of, what if I am believed, what's going to happen then? You know, I was worried how my dad would react. I was worried how my brother would react. Just fear. I think looking back, fear characterized a lot of my life, actually. Fear and loneliness. So yeah, going to the pub, had a string of short, catastrophic relationships with guys who I met in the pub. Some were quite abusive, physically abusive, mentally abusive. I was a mess. And then I met Matt. He was drinking at the time as well, so it was great. We were drinking buddies, and we thought that we were all right, drinking, heavily drinking every single day. I don't know how, looking back on it, we managed it, but we were both getting up, going to work every single day, and then the same pattern: get home from work, start drinking, drink all night, and then back to work in the morning. But it was just awful. I look back on it now at the way I behaved and some of the things I said to cover up the drinking, and it's just mental, what on earth was going on in my head? But we started to find life in London too difficult to cope with, and I still had this romantic dream of North Devon, so we moved back there. One day we just packed up and moved back there, thinking this will solve all our problems, things will get better, but it didn't. We were still ourselves, we still had all our issues. And it was just chaotic. My mental health, I managed to stop drinking, but my mental health was really bad, all sorts of antidepressants, and still self-harming occasionally. And it was kind of in that state. We were living in a little cottage, in the hillside, in a little Devon village. Matt was running round thinking he was a Viking chopping up wood. And one night, I wasn't sleeping very well, really struggling with that, and used to lay in bed reading things on my phone. And one night I just saw a random article. I don't even know how it came up, but it said, if you want to disprove Christianity, read the Gospels, and you will see that it'll all fall down. You'll see it's false. So I thought, well, I've got nothing else to do, let's give it a shot. So I downloaded a Bible and I read. I thought, well, we'll start with Matthew. It's the first one. I read Matthew, I read Mark, and I got halfway through reading Luke, and it broke me. I just thought, I don't see how any of this is false. It just made sense. It flowed. And I just believed that Jesus was who he said he was. And I thought, if I don't do something now, I'm going to hell. I am a sinner. I am on my way to hell, and I need to turn to Christ now. But it was really hard because I had no idea what to do. You come to that realization, but what do you do?
Did you have any of your family or friends that had become Christians or knew any Christians?
So no family at all, no real friends at that time. We'd kind of alienated ourselves from everybody. But strangely enough, a girl who I went to secondary school with, Ruth, she was a Christian. She grew up in a Christian family. She was very firm in her faith. And her parents had actually moved to North Devon as well. And I knew that they weren't far away, so I managed to get in touch with them. And yeah, they came round, and we had this chat with them. And I'm sure Matt would have shared this in his testimony. He'd had this weird experience one night, which he thought was he thought he'd seen a demon and exorcised this demon from our home. I mean, he was struggling with painkiller addiction at the time, and he'd seen things, and off the back of this addiction, he was having drug-induced psychosis. at the time we didn't know that. So this couple came round, we told them about what he had experienced, and we told them about me reading the Bible and believing, and they were just really happy. They said they'd been praying for me since I was 10, which is incredible. I was 37 by this time. That what an incredible thing to hear. They've been praying for me for 27 years. So never give up praying for someone. And then they took us to church.
So at that point, did Matt have kids? Was it
Yeah.
did you so you've got a few kids between you?
Yeah, so I've got one daughter, she's 24 now. And Matt's got two boys who are 24 and 21 now.
Obviously the blended family and complexities that come with that,
Yeah.
you're struggling with your own mental health, the two of you.
Yeah.
You've become a Christian. What's Matt's perception of it at this point? What's
Of becoming a Christian.
and reading the
Oh,
Bible and
he was all in. Let's go for it. I love the sound of this. He was, I mean, Matt's a big guy. He's very confident. He's very forward, and he was just all guns blazing. Yeah, I'm going for it. He was loving it.
So you what did you do? Rock up at a church sometime later,
Yeah.
and then so how was your experience at church?
I mean, the people there were lovely. They were so excited, so excited. But you just had that feeling. I mean, I still had that feeling of I don't fit in here. There's something not right. They were lovely people. They were really excited. I do think we felt a bit like a project for them.
Were you quite vocal about your struggles? And there were, I mean, obviously you're coming in and you're sharing things. Because my experience was I was quite vocal, other people weren't, and I had the similar experience. Like I felt in the end it made me feel like I didn't want to share because I was sharing. I don't know if that was your kind of experience.
I was quite the opposite. I was very quiet, and I didn't really want to say anything. And I think, where Matt is the opposite to that, he's very vocal. So he went in, this has happened, this has happened, and he was like the oh, he almost became like a big celebrity among them because he was so vocal. Whereas for me, I was very quiet, very reserved, not very confident at speaking to anybody. As a kid, I had a stutter, which had gone. But I mean, even now I'm conscious that it might happen. But yeah, I was very quiet and didn't really want to say a lot.
But presumably, in your mind, people looked kind of all together,
Yeah.
and there
Oh,
was like,
yeah.
yourself. And so,
Yeah.
how did, like you say, people were lovely, but probably naive in the sense of how to deal with yourselves, or
Yeah, I think so.
what was your experience in terms of counsel and kind of instilling some wisdom into the situation.
Yeah, I don't think, looking back on it, I don't think there was any counsel at all. I mean, people would try and do things like they would give us helpful advice on what to buy in the supermarket. And what was good washing up liquid, and what was good stuff for washing your clothes, and tell me how to use the washing machine to make it most cost effective. And I'm sat there thinking, I've been married, I've owned my own home, I've got a teenage daughter, I know how to run a home. I felt like we were treated a bit like we were simple and couldn't do anything. Rather than, good godly counsel on how to deal with the mess that we'd created, really.
So navigating through that mess, how was that? I know we're as believers, we've been sanctified and we're still navigating through mess, but to the point where you are now, who kind of helped you through that? Where did you turn? What did you do?
It took a long time, if I'm honest with you. For me, during that time, I just kind of shut down and just carried on, didn't really share an awful lot and just let them get on with it. I think unhelpfully, yeah, I just kind of shut off to everything, and that's all in the past. I'm a new creation now. It's all in the past. Let's just forget about that. But that's not helpful. And as time went on, it proved to be really unhelpful. And it wasn't, I don't think it's until very, very recently that we have actually dealt with it all, if I'm honest with you.
Like you say, trauma in itself is such a huge, isn't it? You can detach from it and dealing with that, and then the after effects, coupled with then you're in a situation of you've both got issues, and I know for myself it's similar in lots of ways. We came with lots of baggage, and like you say, then you, I think you think, Jesus is in the mix. I'm a Christian. For me, it was like, why do we keep going around this cycle? Why, if I'm trusting, I'm reading my Bible, I'm doing this, why does this keep happening? Why do I keep distrusting, and all these things? But like you say, these things can take an eternity to work throughout then. I think that's important, because I've come across Christians, I don't know if you have, that have been quite unhelpful in the sense of saying things like, well, now you're a Christian, you shouldn't be doing X, Y, and Z, or why, that's
Yeah,
not.
definitely, definitely. We definitely experienced that, and it's well meaning. And there would you get a verse. Mine's gone blank, but you get a verse out of the Bible given to you that's really encouraging and really nice. But actually, you think, but how do I do that then? Walk in the spirit. Well, how do I do that? But then you're kind of left feeling like, okay, well, I know all these verses you're giving me. This is all great, and I know you've been really well by it, but I'm still stuck. This is still a problem for me, and I'm still stuck with this and all the feelings around it, and I'm still having the memories of all this going on. And I was left with feeling like there's something wrong with me. Maybe I don't have enough faith. Maybe I'm not even saved, because everybody else's lives are all together. It's all good, and they all seem to be able to do this. Why can't I? So it is a tough one to navigate.
Despite that, though, you remained steadfast, and I'm sure it was had its, bumpy roads. What do you think? Obviously, Jesus, you're holding on to Jesus, and vice versa. But what do you think? Because when you haven't got people around you necessarily, you were understanding you. How do you think you kind of remained faithful? Some people walk away, don't they, from church? Some
They
people.
do. They do. Honestly, I read my Bible. I read it and read it and read it, and it's I can only say it's a move of the Holy Spirit, but I would read my Bible and read my Bible, and what I was reading gave me the assurance, really. And the more I read it, people would like give you a helpful Bible verse, and I would then read it in the Bible and read everything around it and get more context on it, and slowly but surely you gradually seem to work out, well, they might be meaning this, but it's saying this. And then you read the verses about how life is still going to be difficult, but the difference is we have Jesus with us. So yeah, I ended up just finding comfort in my Bible.
Not only do you kind of have the complexities within your own kind of between you and Matt, you obviously got kids, extended family. So it's not just battling your own mental health, is it? It's like the problems and the struggles around you. So what, taking all that, what you've you're obviously we're going to come on to you in Orkney now. What was the bit between sort of the point where we're talking about now to get into Orkney with 20 schemes? What was you, did someone kind of ask you? Did you thought I'll take kind of my experience and put that somewhere? What was that?
So I mean, a lot happened since Matt and I started going to church, which I'm sure he's gone into. Matt was professing faith, but also living a double life, really, and had a secret life of, sin that nearly ended our marriage and everything. And this all sort of came out during COVID when we were locked down. And again, COVID lockdown, the churches are all shut. There's no one. You can't go anywhere. And we were left with nothing, literally nothing and nobody. All we had was our Bible. And by the grace of God, we got through by the word of God. So we came out the other side of this horrific time that nearly actually ended both of us. We both could have ended up dead. It was horrific. But the Lord brought us through, and he brought us through together, still married, intact. And we just knew that, what we've been through is such a testimony to the Lord. And if we can get through that, we can help other people get through all manner of problems. And we wanted to honor the Lord, and we wanted to use what we've been through to serve him. So we started looking around. I think at first we thought, that it was going to be Matt, just Matt. Matt needed to go into ministry. We joined a church down in Cornwall. We moved down to Cornwall. Matt was actually preaching regularly in this church and doing really well and just loving it. He was thriving on it. But the church had, no resources to employ us, and we had to get paid work. And it was actually through that church we met a guy who was the pastor of a church in Woking. We'd kept in touch with him. He said, come and meet my elder. If you get on well, we have no money, but I want to employ you both. I want you both to come here. If my elder likes you, we'll work it out. We'll find the money. So we went up to Woking and spent the weekend there. We met his elder and the elder's wife. They asked our testimony. We told them, and they were like, you need to get in touch with 20 Schemes. They will love you. I'd never heard of them before. I think Matt had heard of them, actually. But so we went home. We watched a few 20 Schemes YouTube videos, and we were like, wow, this is amazing. We need to contact them. So yeah, we got in contact with them, and it all went from there, really.
And how long ago was that?
So that would have been December 2023. I think we got in touch with them. It was great. They got us to come up a few days, really, after talking to them on the phone. We met Mez and Miriam. They said apply. We applied, and then it was April 2024 that we moved up and started working for them.
And what, so initially you didn't go to Orkney, is that right?
That's right. We were in the East End of Glasgow, a little scheme called Barlanock.
And then you went on to Orkney and been there for the last year. So what does your roles consist of? Or what does your role specifically consist of?
So at the moment, I'm a gospel worker apprentice. which means I'm still training, I'm still learning. I spend my time, I'm here to serve Grace Church Orkney, the elders, its members, and to serve the community around us. So at the moment, I spend my days in the community, getting to know people, meeting people. We're still getting to know the area and finding people. We have prayer meetings every morning where we pray for the community and people that we've met. We run a drop-in cafe, which I help to run, so people come in and chat and get a bacon roll and a coffee. I'm at our we have a Friday night support group, which I'm at, called The Harbour. I mean, I'm there to learn and to grow as much as anything else, but also there if any women come in and need support. Doing one-to-ones, what we call one-to-ones with women, some in the community, some who are members of the church, which is just meeting with them weekly, a one-to-one basis for discipleship and evangelism. Yeah, and a few other admin bits as well, like gathering info for newsletters. Yeah,
And
maintaining
so
the website.
your kids are at one end of the country, you're at the other end of the country. So that in itself is quite a sacrifice.
Yeah, it's really hard.
Yeah, something you take lightly. But you
Yeah.
were obviously wanting to serve God and wherever He takes you.
Yeah.
What do you think you were saying we wanted to use our testimony. What do you think has been the most, or what will be the most useful to people kind of in Orkney? Because I was up there, as you know, a few weeks ago,
Yeah.
had a cup of coffee at yours. On the surface, people will probably think Orkney is, and it is, picturesque, beautiful, idyllic. But behind the scenes, like everywhere, there's a lot going on, isn't there? Excuse
There
me.
is.
So
There is.
you as a couple, you as an individual, what is it you're going to bring to Grace Church in Orkney?
I think those experiences of abuse, addiction to alcohol, those are very, very common up here. It's very hidden. Like you say, people see the beauty of the place. But yeah, it goes on a lot up here, and it's very, very hidden. And I think when you've been through it yourself and you can be open and honest about that, people are more trusting of you. So yeah, that's very, very helpful, I think. And then, being able to say to people, people look at me now and say, "Oh, you're very confident. Oh, you're very forward." That's only because of the work the Lord has done in my life. So being able to say to somebody, "Yeah, I've been there. I've been through it. I tried this. I tried that. It didn't work, but what has worked for me is the Lord Jesus Christ." Yeah.
Interesting in that. And what kind of, obviously been there about a year, so what's the biggest kind of struggles that you've seen, or you've obviously you've touched upon your extended family are miles away, but
Yeah.
other than that, what are the kind of struggles you've found while you've been in Orkney, and how have you dealt with them?
So people here are very, very private. When we were in Barlanwg, and even when we were down in Cornwall, to be honest with you, people's problems are a lot more in your face. They don't mind talking about it. They're out on the street living it out. You see it. Whereas up here, it's all very behind closed doors. So building trust with people. Matt and I live in Stromness, living amongst people, not sort of living out and driving in and coming in and out. Being part of that community and getting to know them has definitely been beneficial in that. Yeah, it's also funny, we're very male heavy. At the drop-in and the harbour, it's mainly guys who are coming along. And it's been a bit of a challenge to find out where all the women are. Because they're there, but where are they?
What would be a predominant female job there? What's the what do people
Think
do for jobs?
care work seems to be the most common thing, and that's quite often antisocial hours, and you know they're, or sometimes they're out in the morning, at home in the afternoon, and they're back out in the evening. Seems to be the thing. Yeah, that's definitely a dominant thing.
How have your family taken to you moving?
My daughter dealt with it quite difficultly. I mean, she was devastated when we moved to Glasgow, and then when we turned around and said, "Well, we're going even further, and you know, you can't even just drive. You've got to get a boat or a plane." She was devastated. I mean, she's got a little boy. We've got a grandson who's just about to turn 3. Yeah, it's hard, really hard. Matt's boys are a bit more independent, and they were like, "Yeah, cool." Yeah, I think my daughter's been the most difficult one.
Yeah, like you say, it's accessing it as well, isn't it? The flights, the ferries, it's not,
Yeah,
you know.
it's not easy and it's not cheap.
How were you kind of convinced that's where God was leading you both?
I think might sound a bit simple, but it's where we are. You know, this is, you know, we were struggling to find work in ministry down south. There was just nothing there. You know, Matt hasn't been to seminary. None of us have got any formal qualifications. Matt had applied for many, many roles and was constantly met with, "Oh, you're great. We really like your preaching. Your theology's on point, but you're just not right for us." You know, whereas we got in touch with 20 schemes and they were like, "Yeah, come." I think that that was quite clearly God's opening that door. And then as well, Barlanet was great. We learned so much there, and I love the guys there dearly, and the area was, I loved it. But then when Mez came up to Orkney and we were talking to him more and more, I think the experience that we'd had down in Cornwall and North Devon, you know, rural fishing, farming communities, very, very similar culture down there in that they're very private. It's like an honour shame culture where they've got to protect the family honour and not bring any shame. It's very similar to up here. Yeah, and it just seems like that was preparation for this here. So it just feels right. I know feelings can be wrong, but
No.
it just seems right.
It's amazing, isn't it, how God takes our experiences,
Yeah.
see at the time.
Yeah.
And like you're saying, even in that, the rural, you had this passion for Cornwall, and even
Yeah.
within that, you would have never anticipated being in Orkney, would you, back 5 years
No,
ago?
I mean the funny thing is when we started looking for ministry work, we said, right, we're not going to go more than 2 hours radius from where like our daughter and son were, and then that went to a 4 hour radius, and then before you know it we're up in Glasgow and now we're the completely the other end on an island off the north coast of Scotland. It's just never in a million years did we think we'd be here.
So going back to neither of you've got any formal education
Yeah.
and or particularly seminary. A lot of people might be watching that have been to Bible college, that have done a kind of formal route. What is your how are you gaining kind of any training then if you're not if you haven't been or it's not accessible?
Yes, I mean, 20 schemes are really good at on the job training. Very, very fortunate in Barlanwg to have some amazing women there who are very experienced. To learn under, and then again coming up here, Miriam, you know, with all her years and years of experience doing this, that's been great. They also have 20 schemes have a women's training course, which is like lectures with lots of practical help on and advice. And so I've actually just completed that.
Brilliant.
And also 20 schemes have what they call the Ragged School of Theology, which is now an accredited degree in practical theology. So I'm in the second year doing that.
Excellent.
So we're on the ground doing the work, but we are also getting this formal training, which we wouldn't be able to access otherwise. We don't have the money, we don't have the background qualifications to do it. And like I say, it's now an accredited degree. 20 schemes offer a foundation course as well that Matt and I were able to do to have the credits to be able to do this degree, which is just, it's amazing that people like us are doing a degree. What's that about?
It's a misconception, isn't it, by so many people that if you haven't had, if you hadn't had opportunities or life didn't take you in a certain direction, or it's not even necessary anyway, that you haven't got a string of A levels, and then it's almost like Bible, studying the Bible is like cut off for people, which is really strange.
It is. But one of the things as well that I think is really good working for 20 schemes is that they make much of the fact that you don't need to have been through seminary to be able to go out and share the gospel. Even that can sometimes seem very elitist to be able to talk to somebody about Jesus, but they're just like, no, you go, you do it, you have the Holy Spirit, you are equipped, and they encourage you in that.
So when you're discipling people, when you're coming alongside people, yourself, it's been a journey. You're still on a journey. How do you, when people kind of fall and keep repeatedly falling or going, how do you, because it can be frustrating, even though we've been there and done it, it can be frustrating. How do you keep your sort of, how do you remain with God's grace for people, but also not a walkover? How do you do that?
I think it's reminding yourself of the gospel. You've got to remember the gospel. Remember, for me, it's remembering how bad I was and still am. How it's only by the grace of God that I'm not back down that hole again. I do think it is really important that we have a team around us. So we can be open and honest with each other. We pray together every single day. We encourage each other. We point each other back to Christ. When you're discipling somebody and those disappointment comes, I need my one-to-one to help me to deal with that and get that perspective back on it and to remember again the gospel. And again, with the person I'm seeing for the one-to-one, it's got to be the gospel. The gospel. It's the gospel that saves. It's the gospel that sanctifies. Yeah, it's just keeping my eyes and their eyes on Christ. Definitely.
Like you say, keeping in community with people.
Yeah.
Can't do it alone, can we?
No, no.
And sort of going from, obviously you said when you were young you weren't very confident. Obviously that was, it was trauma going on as well, moving around, and then being quite closed. How have you been able to trust in order to be open with the one-to-one or whoever you've shared with along the way? How have you been able to do that?
I would say being led by godly women who have pointed me to Christ, pointed me to that assurance, and also they've had a confidence in me. They haven't been holding me back and almost saying, oh no, you shouldn't really be doing this. It surprised me how much they said to me, you go, you can do this. For someone who could barely speak in a room of people last year, I spoke at the 20 Schemes Edinburgh conference to a room full of women. I mean, how does that even happen? It's yeah, a work of the spirit through these amazing women who've done nothing but encourage and say, no, you can do this.
It's brilliant. So going forward, what does the next sort of 6 months, 12 months look for you in your role? And is it just doing what you're doing, embedding more relationships?
I think it is, it is a it's a tough community to get to know. So it's, as I said before, we are still getting to know the community. We're still trying to find these women. So yeah, and I'm still learning. So yeah, more learning, more, excuse me, more just getting to know the community, and yeah, hopefully just the more our faces are known around town, the more people are getting comfortable with us. And yeah.
And you've got some a young guy who lives with you, is that right?
Yes. Yeah, Silas.
Someone that works for the church, is it? Or remember.
Yeah, he's an intern for the church. He's from Virginia in America. And yeah,
So
he
even kind of dynamically, that is, it's not, well, I'm not saying anything about the guy, but just having a different person in the house
Yeah.
can bring its own. How is that part of your role? Is that something you're encouraged to do? Like have someone kind of live with you, disciple them?
It's definitely something that we're encouraged to do. It's not something we have to do. But yeah, and I love it. I love having people. I wish our house was bigger and we could have more of them in here. I love it. And he's a good lad. It's nice having him here. He's like our American Orkney son.
Oh, that's lovely. Oh, thank you, C.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Get that.